picking on that red guitar. So get around, now get around, chill and get down. Well, just get down, chill and get loud. Well, you can be loud, yeah, and be proud. And you can be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. Well, yeah, because South's gonna do it again and again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. Still to come on the program, in studio, join us here in about 30 minutes, State Representative Shane Stringer. We will talk constitutional carry. That's coming up, like I said, in 30 minutes. And then our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, probably on a maybe, well, it's probably a little too windy and too not very good weather, but could be out there fishing or doing something fun today. But we'll hear from him in about an hour. But joining us now, as we do usually at this time on Friday, it's my pleasure to introduce my next guest from Alabama Today and News Talk 93.1 up in Montgomery, as well as the Lindy Blanchard for Governor campaign, April Marie Fogle. April Marie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great this morning.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I got to listen to a little of your show this week, being up there. It always makes you feel good when y'all are hitting on the same things that I hit on sometimes, at least somebody else is talking about them. But let's kick it off. One of those, this whole school choice debate, Del Marsh has got his bill. I don't think it's going to be enacted into law. It's just not, the timing is just not right. But it has kind of raised this discussion about school choice and the kind of terrible education, public education we have in Alabama.
Well, it's really interesting because I feel like this is something that, as it happens across the country, as other states expand their school choice as a direct result of all the craziness that happened during COVID, that we start looking at Alabama and going, why are we not having these choices? Why are there no choices for our people? And so I think this is a big bill. I also think it's that they need it to pass because KIV has done nothing for education that has moved the dial, and so I think there are two groups looking for this: the parents and the students, and KIV's reelection prospects.
Well, no, school administrators do not like this, and it's not necessarily. I mean, the education in this state is 51st out of 50 or whatever metric they trot out, so they're not totally clean here, but. Even in schools where you don't have deficiencies quite like you do in the Black Belt and in the inner cities, they are very strident opponents of school choice. They will tell you as much, and I think that is a real impact on not just the governor but these members of the legislature as well, because you don't want the local school superintendent, you don't want the local school board members working against you.
Well, there's no other industry in the nation where you're going, this product is bad, consistently bad. It's bad in every measurable way, you know, reading, from reading and writing to math to science to safety to teacher turnover, you name it. It's bad in every measurable way. But you just keep giving us money. And whatever you do, don't take money away from us, or you're keeping hostage the kids and the families. So please, please don't give them a better option. Why on earth would we ever do that with any other product in the world?
Well, public education, does government necessarily need competition? Now, I mean, in some things it absolutely does. You know, especially in this state with state-run ABC boards or whatever. Do you need a competing water board? Do you need a competing, whatever, you name your government service? Some people would, and I'm not saying, you know, they would argue no. The problem, and there's a mayor I'm going to talk to on Monday, but the problem is, what if you're doing everything right? What if your community had made a commitment and said, we're going to have good schools, we're going to do what it takes, we're going to hire the best teachers, we're going to make sure that our community has the tax structure to afford this, and then all of a sudden, this one-size-fits-all solution to bad schools that would be applied across the state, all of a sudden, you're now subjected to that you can have parents can take tax dollars, take funding away from schools, and give it and put it in private schools or homeschooling.
Well, I'd say that the mayor would need to talk to the parents and get their buy-in. And so that's the big key here. The big key is no longer can schools just say, you're stuck. And so now they have to start making the case. And for the school systems that are changing or that are good, they don't have the hard cakes to make. But the kids who are absolutely stuck, and I say this as someone who lives this, my children are zoned for a failing school. I choose to put them in a private school because of that. If I were zoned for a phenomenal school, this wouldn't be an issue. I wouldn't be moving my children. And so when I'm looking to move houses, I'm looking to a school system where I don't have to put my kids in a private school. And those schools have nothing to worry about. If you're providing a great product, why on earth would you think that your families would leave?
Well, I just, people are people and they do things for whatever reason.
But why shouldn't they?
Well, here's why, and I'm like I said, I'm not necessarily taking this side, and I, I'm open to either side here. But we elect a school board, we elect school officials, and if those guys aren't getting the job done, I mean, we kind of get the government we deserve in a democracy, right? If they're not getting the job done, then why do you keep putting these same people in place? Why aren't you finding people that will take these more progressive approaches or whatever you want to call them, more conservative approaches? But we kind of have what we have, and does it necessarily is an act of the legislature where the state up on high tells local schools that this is how it's going to be? Is that necessarily the right approach?
Yes, because what they're not doing is telling the schools how it's going to be. You're looking at this from the point of view of the schools being the victims. Right now, the victims of our bad education system are the parents and the students. And when you reframe that argument that the victims of this bill, are, if you're looking at it as the victims of the school bill are going to be the public schools, then you're looking at it wrong, because the victims of our education system are the students right now. And those students should not be forced to go to the failing schools. And if it's a good school, the families just aren't going to leave.
Well, don't we have something in place, the Accountability Act, right?
That only impacts a very certain number of individuals. This goes across the board. It says it phases in, but it says across the board that no one is going to have their education, which, by the way, education in schools is one of the biggest determinants people's absolute future.
But I'm just saying, if you have a failing school, if you're in a failing school, there is an avenue, and it's already on the books. So take all those children out of the equation and just talk about the ones that aren't in failing schools.
But not every child is eligible for that.
Well, then, wouldn't we be...
And then the other issue, I'm going to help you out here. So say you, Jeff Poore, decide to homeschool your child.
Right.
You're not given a tax discount for that. You made this choice. You pay the curriculum out of pocket. You pay the materials out of pocket. Any tutors you have. This says the money that would go to the school you can use for your children's education. So say you're in a failing school and you choose to take your kids and homeschool them, then this gives you the ability to use the tax dollars allocated for your child for your child's education. The money follows the kid exactly how it should be.
Well, that's fine. I mean, it's not that I have a problem with it, but it is punitive in that. What if your schools are doing a good job by all metrics, but this parent just says, "No, I don't like where this is." I mean,
and that's what the parent has a choice to do. Why should we be treating our students like they're prisoners assigned to a jail cell? No, if a parent decides that their child isn't in the best environment for whatever reason, maybe it's a learning disability, maybe it's a bullying situation, maybe it's God knows what. Why on earth should the child be held there like a captive?
Well, I mean, that's fine, but what if the parent just, you know how crazy parents can be sometimes.
Why does the parent need an excuse?
That's fair enough, but it does come. It does. There are unintended consequences, I guess, is my point, that there is. The only place I'm not necessarily have a problem with school choice The only thing that makes it a little questionable be it does seem like, and conservatives tend to shrug this, you know, to shirk away from this, it's the one-size-fits-all approach.
No, but see, this is the opposite of one-size-fits-all. This is the absolute opposite. It says that right now we have a system that's one-size-fits-all, everybody goes to public school. This says, no, Jeff Fort, one-size-fits-all works for nobody, and so you, as the parent, get to choose. Do you want to send your kids to private school? Do you want to homeschool your kids? Do you want to virtual school your kids? Maybe some kids thrived in virtual education. So maybe you want to do that. This is the opposite of a one-size-fits-all. This is a give everybody choice, and some people are going to continue to choose public. Some people are going to choose to go elsewhere. And that's the beauty of how education works and how we make education better.
Joined by April Marie Fogle of Alabama Today and News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. April Marie, the other part, I guess, of this this whole debate is this. It is just the politics of it. It's going to be very hard to get through right now. I just think it's got a lot of things working against it. I think the AEA is starting to show its teeth.
Misinformation.
Well, the AEA is showing its
working against it.
The AEA is showing its teeth, but to me, I think this is what's important about this, that right now we're going to get an idea of who the parties are, that who, in particular on the Republican side, who votes against this, who votes for it, or will leadership even put it up to a vote so we know where these legislators stand on the whole school choice issue, that we'll get a clear picture. So when this does, I think, become more of a reality, more of a prospect, we'll know kind of who the players are.
Well, and I think that's what happens a lot of times with legislation. I am hoping that this one actually gets legs under it this year. And I think that the governor, looking at what's happened in the state and the lack of movement during her tenure, I think she needs this to pass.
I don't think it's going to pass. I can't even see it getting to the floor. I think maybe it gets out of the Senate as kind of one last hurrah for Senator Marsh, who's, you know, kind of now he's an institution, I would say, in Alabama politics. But looking at the House, it's tough in the House, and that's where everything goes to sort of die. Yeah, and that's kind of where. And that's what it seems like to me. I tell you, I was in the State House this week, and there's just AEA lobbyists all over the place. I think the final tally, because they had to sign it, 44 lobbyists this week, I guess it was Wednesday, roaming the halls of the State House to lobby against Marsh's bill.
Oh, yeah, they're scared to death. Imagine you've got a store that doesn't serve the needs of the customers, but they're forced to go to that store each and every day. And now someone's saying, we're going to let you shop around. Of course the store is going to be like, no, we don't have to improve. We haven't had to improve. Why are you messing with us?
Well, here's my problem with the AEA. Look, they're doing exactly what they need to do. They're supporting the teachers' interest, and that's what they get paid to do. And it's unfortunate because the teachers aren't, you know, we make them a protected class, but sometimes some don't deserve to be. But what the AEA should do, they're not making like a compelling case against this. They're just, it doesn't seem like, no one is making the case why school choice would not necessarily be a good thing. But my problem, also in addition to that, April Marie, and then I'll get you to respond to this and we'll move on to something else real quick. It's just, this seems like a gimmick play, because if you do school choice, there's no guarantee that you're going to get the failing schools to up their game and improve. You still have the rot, and you still have the protections, and you still have, you know, bad teachers being protected, that the bad schools are still going to be there.
But parents no longer have to – ours no longer will be stuck there. And when parents have a choice, that it's like any other big marketing thing. You try to sell the best product. Right now, they don't have to have the best product because there's nowhere else for anyone to go. But if parents start choosing another school, they're going to start wanting to make their school the best, to make their school the choice. Very, very, very different scenario than we have right now when the parents don't have a choice.
But did you take the parents take their kids out of their terrible school? Or are you just going to have these, like, these zombie schools operating with a handful of students and bad teachers? I mean, what do you, how do you make the system work?
Well, if all of the parents are, or the majority of the parents are choosing a different school, then that school doesn't work. And maybe we need a hard reset on what that school was and who it is.
That's the conversation. So, that what do you do after school choice? And it has its, it has its intended impact. We have a market system, and people make decisions based on what's best for their situation. We're operating on this blind faith that, well, things are just going to get better because these schools are not going to want to be, like I said, zombie schools, and no one knows that for sure.
Oh, we do know that, but we do know states that have had school choice that the public schools end up wanting to compete for those students, and they do improve. And when they don't improve, then that's something for the school district to figure out in terms of, do we need as many schools? How do we use our resources? You know, what we go from there. Zombie schools is not nearly as high a priority as zombie students. And I choose to say that the students, not the school institution, not the administrators, not the teachers, the students should always be put first.
April Marie, we're up against a break here, but folks want to check you out. Any of your writing, or they want to check out your show, tell them where they can look.
Yeah, one-stop clearinghouse for everything is my Twitter account, at April Marie, APRYLMARIE. And then, of course, you can find me on News Talk 93.1's website, so that you can, after you're done listening all day to this station, you can put me in your pod, listen to the podcast as you walk. And you can find me on AL Today. That's altoday.com.
Hey, April Marie, we always appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Talk again soon. Bye, dear.
All right, guys, we got to get a break. This is FM Talk 106.5.